Amen. Thanks, choir. Thank you, Jamie. Good job today. John's away on vacation. Glad that Jamie's here. Love this guy and for the good spirit he brings to our team and the work he's doing. Thank you for young man. There are two kinds of people that are believers. There's the lost, but I'm not talking about them. Two kinds of Christians. First of all, there's a Christian that lives according to the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Then there is a Christian who lives by principles, his own personality, and politics. I don't mean Republican and Democratic politics, I mean church politics. The worst kind of politics. Flesh or faith? In this month, we're put together this series of messages on the Holy Spirit. Today we're looking at the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Next week we look at the outer working of the Holy Spirit. It's like a tree. The roots go deep into the ground and find the source of water and nutrition. You never see it. You don't even know it's happening. It's that root system. That's what we're talking about this morning. There is an internal deep working of the Spirit within every believer that no one else knows. Your neighbor doesn't know. Your Sunday school teacher doesn't know. Your mother doesn't know if it's happening. Sometimes, dear friend, you don't even know it's happening. But God is at work in the inner man. And then he's at work in the manifestation, the outer man with the branches and the leaves and the fruit. We see that next week, but this morning we look internally. You see, there are Christians in this church like Barnabas that the Bible tells us about in the book of Acts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, amen. He walked by the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. There are other people in the family of faith, they are believers, but they've never learned the inner working of the Spirit life. All they know is to scream loud, get their way, be physically strong, be politically involved and maneuvering and use their personality. And they're good people. They've just missed the dimension of the Spirit life. So this morning I want us to look at the seven inner workings of the Spirit. Now you know I don't have time to deal with all seven of these, so as I'm doing each week, I give you this outline, and I usually want to drill down on one, maybe two, and this morning I want to drill down at one and drill down at seven, and I'll just give you 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the middle, just with brief commentary, but I want you to see the seven workings of the Spirit within us. I want us today to joyfully concur in Romans 7:22 that we would joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Amen. A lot of people concur, but they don't do it with joy. But the Spirit of God causes a joy to come, the joy of the Spirit of the living God. And we concur with the law of God that's in the inner man. So let's look deep inside today and let's see what is that God is about. Seven things I want you to see. Number one is the word regeneration. Regeneration. We find it in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Titus 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, Paul to young Titus, he saved us. That is Jesus saved us. Not on the basis of deeds according which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. This is that inner work. We call it redemption. We call it being saved. We call it being born again. Here is regeneration. This is the verse that is on the tombstone of my good friend Eddie Ashari, who worked on our staff for many years, now buried out here north of town in a cemetery by a Methodist church. And on his tombstone is Titus 3:5. He regenerated us by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it this way in John 3:6, that is born of the flesh is flesh, and that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Man, don't marvel. I mean, you understand, you must be born again. You've been born once in the flesh, generated. Somebody generated you. We don't use that word very often, but that's what happened. You were birthed. Now it's time for rebirth or regeneration. You've been born of the flesh. It's time to be born of the Spirit. This is the inner working of God. You see, when you come into this world, you come in with a dead spirit, a darkened soul, and a defiled body. And when you're saved, you call on the name of the Lord, the Spirit of God comes into you, and your dead spirit is quickened, your darkened soul is enlightened, and your defiled body is cleansed. He changes you. One of the Old Testament prophets says he takes your heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh. Isaiah chapter 11 says, you were a wolf and he makes you a lamb. You've been regenerated. It is the work of God within us. Your spirit quickened. Happened to me when I was 10 years old. You say, preacher, can it really happen at 10? Did for me. I preached the gospel out at the barn meeting on Thursday night, and I gave the invitation. 12 men, I had them just stand. 12 men out of those 400 stood to say, today, I'm believing on the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if they got saved or not. Only God can see to know. But if they did, I'm here to tell you that their dead spirit was made alive. Their darkened soul, their mind, will, and emotion was enlightened. Their mind, their will, their emotion was enlightened by the Spirit of God. Every filthy sin they'd ever done, cleansed and forgiven. Every filth of pornography they'd ever been involved, forgiven. Every sin and wickedness ever involved in, every curse word ever spoken, ever anger ever shown, forgiven, washed. It's regeneration. As the Pew Research firm put out a poll this week, it's really dominated the news. It's been all over papers and everywhere. Drudge Report started with it, and it's just went wild. Pew Research says there are less Christians in America. Duh. Who didn't know that? But they asked the question this way, what is your affiliation? Well, if you're a Baptist or an Episcopalian or a Catholic, or you're affiliated with the Christian church, and they saw a big number, but it's a smaller number than 7 years ago. But the largest growth was in the group that said, we're nothing. They check the box when you're affiliated. They check none, and so they are called the nuns. Not the N-U-N-S kind of nuns, but the N-O-N-E-S kind of nuns. We're none of that. Well, hear me, friend. Christianity is not an affiliation. You don't join up with some church, and therefore you're born again. I was in Publix. My wife, we were shopping, walking through, and couponing a little bit. Where'd that come from? When we walked out of there, I grew up in a grocery store. I worked all my life. I just said, thank God they didn't have coupons when I was running the cash register. But I really do like those electronic things where you just whoop, 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 whoop. I like that part where you don't have to hit all those buttons. The lady looked at me and she said, you look familiar. And my stock answer to that always, well, have you been to the post office this week? My picture may be on the wall there, I don't know, sometimes, with all the other criminals. She said, no, that's not it. She said, but I know you. So finally we said, well, from Olive Baptist. She said, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to go to church there. So I went to Bible school there. She said, I just went when I was a kid. She said, now my sister, she went and she got baptized, but I never got baptized. She's not affiliated. I don't know if her sister saved or not, but she affiliated. Friend, regeneration is not affiliation. You can be affiliated and lost. You must be born again. And the Spirit of God steps into your heart and literally does a miracle within you of regeneration. And He confirms over and over that you are His child. Some of you sit in this room today affiliated but not regenerated. And you need to renounce your affiliation and claim your regeneration. And say to the Lord, I want to be saved. I want to come to you. God birthed me again. In my spirit, raised me from the dead. In my soul, enlightened me so I will know the things of God. In my body, forgive me. And there is a sweet confirmation that comes with that. Those that are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. Regeneration, it's the first work. Secondly, is the work baptism. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. When you are saved and you are regenerated and God literally raises you from the dead, at that same time, He baptizes you in the Spirit. Now, you notice the word says we were all of us were baptized into the Holy Spirit. And when we are baptized, we are baptized. That marks our family and our function. We all name the name of Christ. We are baptized in Jesus' name, and that baptism puts us all together. One family, one function. Our function is to take the gospel to the world and make disciples of every nation. Now, we were baptized with that into the family. No big shots and little shots, no big members and little, we're all baptized, all level at the foot of the cross. And we are immersed in the Spirit. I have good friends that are Pentecostal preachers in this town. I've been in Pentecostal meetings all my life since the time I was 17 years old. Matter of fact, one of my Pentecostal brothers, I saw him this week. We eat together on a regular basis, fellowship, pray together, pray for one another. I wrote his name in my prayer journal this morning, praying for him. He slapped me on the back when he saw me the other day walking across the street, and he said, well, Pastor Ted, have you gotten saved yet? I said, you know, I did, but I lost it, and then I found it, and then I lost it, and then I found it, and then I lost it again. Can you help me? And we laugh together. Well, we see some doctrinal things different, but let me tell you, when they start taking us all to jail for preaching the gospel, we're going to go hand in hand. Some of that's going to melt away because we've all been baptized by one Spirit into one family for one function. It's to take the gospel to the world. You've been regenerated. You've been baptized. Thirdly, you've been sealed. Sealed. The Word of God in Ephesians 1, 11, 12, and 13 tells us that we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, yes, God knew before we did according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be the praise of His glory. Look at verse 13. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, having also believed, you were sealed. In Him with the Spirit of promise. Friend, when you get saved, God seals you. Like Byron brings me fish. Sealed. Never now any backslides. And he said, Pastor, you'll have to clean these yourself. I don't like fish that way. I like it when they catch them and they clean them and they seal them. Amen, Byron, can I get a witness? Adam Weekly, one of the boys, he just graduated from high school, he's over at Mississippi State. He brought me a bunch of amberjack the other day, all sealed, amen. I mean ready. When I was a kid growing up, my mother used to put green beans in cans, jars. I remember one morning early walking through and I could hear them sealing. Some of y'all have never seen that. It's a glass jar, a lid on it, with a ring, a lid. And in the lid is a seal. That's the... I got 24 in my house right now. I go get them for my mother. They're almost in their 90s and they work that garden. And I bring that stuff home free. And in order to get it open, you have to break the seal. Let me tell you, friend, when you got saved, God sealed you, and nothing will break that seal until Jesus comes again. That's why you are sealed, you are safe, you will never be lost again. Don't swallow the lie to say you can get it and lose it and get it and lose it and get it and lose it. He seals you. And friend, if he can't seal you for all eternity, he ain't worth having. If he can't seal you, he never saved you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One of these days, Jesus is going to come. He's going to break the seal. And your spirit is going to be with the Father. You're going to leave the mason jar down here. Amen. Yes, sir. Seal. He does that in us. He regenerates us, he baptizes, he seals us. Number four, he gives us an inheritance in Ephesians 1, 14. I think I wrote down 1:4, but it's supposed to be 14, all right? And he says, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of redemption of God's own possession, the praise of his glory. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, the Spirit of God is called a pledge. It's like a down payment. When you buy a house, you buy something, and you give 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever it is, percent down payment. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is the signed document of your inheritance. He is the pledge. He's the down payment. And one day when God comes back, he's coming back after himself who is in you. That is the down payment. That is the inheritance. I'm an only child. One day my mom and daddy, if I outlive them, when they die, I get all they got because they have signed a document and I am in the will. Well, let me tell you, friend, when you got saved, God put you in his will. And you have inherited from, it's not what you did, it's what he did. And that spirit is the inheritance within you. Number five in Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 is the revelation. He reveals things in you. Randall, go on over to verse number, there it is right there. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. There it is, that God would illuminate you so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Verse number 20 then tells us, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated at his right hand in heavenly places. He reveals himself. How do you know God? You know him as he reveals himself to you. That's why, hear me, you high school students, all of you, everybody said you was going off somewhere to school or getting a job or whatever. Well, let me tell you, the most important book you'll ever read is this book I'm holding in my hand. You need to remember that. You don't ever need to forget it. Some of you going off to Troy. I can give you a church. Four of you going off to Auburn. I don't know which church you're going to, but Al Jackson's there, and some of you ought to check them out over at Lake Vintage. It's a great church. You'll love that. Different places where you're going. You find a church that teaches this book. Because what the Spirit of God does is he reveals to you what you ought to do. He gives you the spirit of revelation and wisdom. He does it through this book. I had a young college student ask me this week, Pastor, do you believe that God would prophesy into my heart a truth? I said, well, he will, but he will never do it in contradiction to the Word of God. Several years ago, I had a lady that came to me and sat in my office, not here, but when I was in Texas, and she came in and honestly sat down. She said, Pastor, the Spirit of God, I've been praying and fasting, and God has told me to divorce my husband. I knew this man. He's a good man. Hard working, didn't beat her. brought the bacon home, came to church, loved her, loved the boys. She just said, God's told me to go be a missionary and I can't do it with the baggage of my husband and I'm gonna leave him and go. I said, look, darling, now I'm just telling you, I wasn't yet 30 years old. But I looked at that lady and I said, I don't know what you've been eating. But God didn't talk to you. You hadn't heard. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't know God if you met him in a 40-acre field. Because God will not, because God told you to be submissive to your husband and to love your husband. Now, I have ladies that come to me from time to time and say, Pastor, my husband beat me and beating the kids. He's drunk and he's... I tell her to get out. Be safe. But I mean, just cause she burnt the bacon. Now, hello. Do you understand me? There is a spirit of revelation. Some of you students are wondering, well, what should I major in? You're going to change that about four times, all right? Now, some of you are going to get it right the first time, but most of you not. I'm just telling you because most don't, and that's okay. I knew I was going to be a preacher, but I thought I was going to be an evangelist. I didn't want to put up with this every Sunday. I just wanted to swoop in, preach, get the money, and go. That's what I wanted to do. That's what the evangelist does. That's glory to God. But I wasn't cut out for that. That wasn't where I wasn't, but God had to change me and show me. He'll reveal that to you. It's the spirit of spirit of revelation and wisdom. You never know what's coming. You ask this young man sitting in that chair right there, you never know what's coming, isn't that right? You don't know. But God does. Tell you, God knows. And he'll reveal to you. God do more in a minute than you can do in a lifetime, I'm telling you. But you've got to have the Spirit of God with it. It's the spirit of revelation. Number six, not only does he reveal within you, but then he sanctifies you. Look at 1 Peter 1:2 very quickly, very quickly. According to the foreknowledge, yes, God knows before you know, the foreknowledge of the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood, by may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. And here's what God does. He sanctifies you and he leads you to two things, obedience and constant confession and cleansing. When he's sanctified, inside of you, he's leading you to obey, obey, obey. He's showing you things you have to obey. These students, they're going to run into stuff you got to obey. I'll never forget. Hear me. I went off to junior college on a basketball scholarship. I was the only believer on my squad that I knew about. We went off to that bar the first night and had all those guys in tow, and I'm in the bar, and they got the blue lights working, and everybody's drinking. I had never been drunk in my life and wasn't about to start now, and I'm just telling you, the Spirit of God said to me, you don't belong here. Get out. I said, but Lord, these are my friends. Spirit of God whispered in my soul, I am your friend. I reached up and grabbed Wendell McAbee by the neck, his collar, and I pulled him down where I was because everybody was up there. Had a bunch of big old boys. I said, Wendell, you about to take me home. You about to take me home right now. He said, yes, sir, let's go. He never told me he'd do anything in his life. I don't know. It must have been the fire of God in my life. I was scared to death. I knew this. God had called me to obey and get out. I went home. I'm telling you, when God sanctifies your life, he's going to cleanse you and he's going to lead you to obedience, radical obedience. And church, I want you to hear me. If we don't all get radical in our obedience, the church is done in America. It's done. And we must come through constant cleansing. That's what sanctification is. You get everything out of you that's of the flesh. God cleanses you. You obey. And the Spirit of God. Nobody knows if you're doing that. Your mama won't know. Your grades can be great. I won't know. You can come home and just be here and look like you're just got everything in order. But the Spirit of God has got to work with us. Now, number last is seven, and that is strengthened. Strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. Look at Ephesians 3. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, go to verse 17. It's not on the board. Go to verse 17. There are two things that God calls you to do when He strengthens you. When He makes you strong, there's two things coming in your life. Faith and love. They're right there in verse 17. So students, listen to me now. When God strengthens you within your spirit, you've all grown up in a church somewhere and you've been in the life of this church for a while. Many of you grew up right here. That sweet, sweet girl that sang this morning, Catherine Price, Endfinger. She sent me an email this week. She said, Pastor, you have spoken into my life every year I have been alive. She said, I'm 26 years old. I've never known another pastor's voice, but I want to thank you for speaking. And some of you have been here that long. Others of you have been at other places. What I'm telling you is that God begins to strengthen with faith. He will. What do you believe in God for right now? If you don't know the answer to that, you're not believing Him for anything. What do you believe in? I'm telling you, you can be a world changer. God used you to turn the world right side up. He can use you to touch a campus, to touch a roommate. God help you. You better be praying about your roommate. I got a drunk the first semester. He didn't stay. I ran him off. O-F-F off. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. But we had to decide who's going to be what here. He coming in drunk, throwing up every night. I couldn't put up with that. So you got to deal with it. You going to stand or compromise? I'm telling you what God does. When He strengthens the enemy, you begin to. But then it's not only faith, but love. Oh, He teaches us to love one another. Dr. Lewis, thank you. Brother Stan, where'd you go? There he is. When I was out the other day, and so many of you have asked about my health, and I'm thankful to you for that. But he told you, don't be telling me your stories. And you've been so good until today. It took me 17 minutes to walk across the foyer this morning. Pastor, how you doing? Well, I'm doing. Well, let me tell you about the time I had a heart attack. And I tried to pull it. He said, I had open heart surgery. I hope that doesn't happen to you. And I'm just thinking, So I stumbled on down. Next guy grabbed my hand. He said, Pastor, how you doing? I said, pretty good. He said, man, I'm praying for you. He said, they had to cut me open and go up in there. It took me 17 minutes to walk across there. I got all these stories. I got a book in the mail this week, How to Overcome a Heart Attack, from one of our older people. I hadn't had a heart attack. And here's what I'm telling you, I heard the Spirit of God speak to me out there this morning. He said, number one, they only tell you that because they love you. They're concerned about you. They care for you. But secondly, young man, I love it when the Lord calls me young, and you always are because He's the Ancient of Days. He says, young man, it's not about them loving you. It's about you loving them. You going to love them? Yes. Yes, sir, Lord. I will love them. See, God's always doing two things when he gives you strength inside. What will you believe me for? And will you show my compassion to a lost and dying world? Now, we're coming to quit. Every heart in here has got a throne. Every heart has a throne. Campus Crusade for Christ has an illustration they use. Right there it is. The circle is your life. There's a throne, that's your heart. Bill Bright gave us this years and years ago. It's simple, it's sophomoric, but it makes the point. That little chair is the throne of your heart. Somebody's on that throne. The S is for self. The cross, of course, is Christ. Christ belongs on the throne. But so many believers live with self on the throne and Christ down where the S is now. You must come to the place of enthroning Christ in order to walk in the Spirit-filled path. It's what it's about. You must hunger. You must come to the place of saying this, I am not the king, I am just his ambassador. You're not in charge. Hello. This is the greatest day of my life when I discovered I was not in charge. I'm an ambassador of the one that is. I must die to my way. I must die to my kingship. I must die to my pursuit of glory. I must die to control over my own time and calendar. I must die to the maintenance of my own reputation. I must die to getting my way. I must die to my unfaltering self-confidence. I must dethrone Ted Traylor and live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Teenagers, I was 17 when this happened to me. I got saved at 10. I was as arrogant a cuss as you've ever met. Oh, I was living for God. I mean, I was the leader of my youth group. If they'd elected a president, I'd have been it. I'd have seen to it. I mean, just wait, you know, thank God for those people that step up. All that was is God just teaching me. But my church was kind of dead. There wasn't much going on. So I went to Calera, Alabama, to the National Guard Armory, to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. I said, if there's more to this life in the Spirit, I want it all. And I went. And I spent 2 days. I walked down to the front and that preacher put his hand up. He never touched me. He just put his hand up like that and I hit the ground. And what'd that mean? They call it being slain in the spirit. I watch other people. I was in poo hoot and holler. We got in the glory train. Everybody got hold of the shoulders, and we went all around that National Guard Army singing, praying. I wanted to leave, but I couldn't because there was a rather rotund lady that had been slain in the spirit in the door of the National Guard Army. You could not get in, and you could not get out. That's a true story. I was locked in to the Holy Ghost meeting. But I began to analyze that. I wanted all God had for me. But here's the part I couldn't figure out. When I fell down, somebody had to catch me. I said, well, if God knocked me down, why can't he lay me down? Then when the ladies that had on skirts, when they fell out, somebody had a cover and they had to cover them up. Because when they fall down, their dress would fly up. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I tell these teenagers all the time, I was in the half of the class that made the top half possible. But I'm telling you that I'm not stupid. And if holy God knocked that lady down, he's not going to create an environment of lust for me. And I was 18 years old, and I'm just telling you, when that girl's dress flew up, I got unslain. I'm like, you know. I mean, hello. That's right, Dr. Stan. A graduate of Jimmy Swaggart Bible College over here, I guarantee you. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm really not making fun because I can make fun of us. We sit here in our dead rows. Little boys get saved and we just say, that must be good. I'd rather have wildfires than no fire. I can calm down wildfire, but it's hard to raise the dead. I'm just telling you, I wanted all God had. I just said, God, just whatever it is, pour it out on me. Now, I had to discern some things, and you have to discern. Even in Acts 15, they had to discern. They had a division in the church, and it was over spiritual matters. People tried to teach me things that were not true. But I just began to hunger. And I'm telling you, as long as you hunger, God will fill you up.
You'll come even to some disagreements with people, but he'll fill you up. And God begins to energize in the inner man, and he grows faith, and he always grows love. But you stop making things happen by your politics, your personality, and your persuasion. And you let God use your personality with his power and the person of the Holy Spirit through you. It is Christ in me and through me, the hope of glory. And teenagers, if you don't learn to be dead to yourself, your biggest enemy will be you. Because you'll go off to school and 5 years later, you'll have never joined a church. You'll never been in a small group. You'll get in the frat house or the sorority room. You'll hang out with this. But Sunday after Sunday after Sunday will just go by, and before you know it, you'll leave and it'll be Christmas and you hadn't darkened the door of a church or opened your Bible, and you'll come home and you'll be here for Christmas Eve service, and I'll ask you, how's it going? And you'll say, friend, if you hadn't heard a word from God from the time you leave in August to get back here Christmas, you ought to come home and get right with God. It's the greatest education you'll get is when you learn of and from him. And you got to put him on the throne. And the biggest problem with college students is getting themselves off the throne. You got to walk down from the throne. I am not the king. I'm the ambassador of the king. Amen. What a journey when he's in charge. Well, that's all I got to say about that today. And so, high school students, I want you to stand up. And we want you to know we love you. We're proud of you. Yeah. Turn your tassel and throw your cap. Man, have a great time. But now hear me. There's always a tragedy around graduation. People do things that are not smart. Be smart. Let the Spirit of God rule your life. Yeah, God's got big things for you. We're proud of you. We're looking for big stuff from you. Hey, a few years, old John, he'd be dead and gone. Somebody's got to step here and help me. I'm looking for you. These old people are going to die, all right? I need you. So stay on the journey. Who's going out first? First row or back row? Let's just let the back row go right out, and we're going to let y'all go right out that back door. And Jamie, that's your name. Just start playing something, all right? And they're going to go right. Give them a good hand as they go out of here today. Hey, Jared, are you graduating? Oh, okay, good. Amen. Y'all just going out to smoke or leaving early or what? I know what you're doing. Get out of here. I just messing with you. That's one of our young deacons. You got to keep them humble. I'm just telling you now, you do. They're working with these teenagers, going over there to help them, so that's good. I want you to listen to me. We let them get out because they got a lot to do. And parents, I know you're going to go over there in a moment. Jamie's going to sing one verse, and some of you are here today and you said, Pastor, I really need to just come pray. Well, we're going to let you do that. So you say, Pastor, I need to join this church. Well, I want you to do that. Somebody's here today and you've never known regeneration, we talked about. You say, Pastor, I just think I'm lost and I need Christ. Can somebody? We'll be glad to help you with that. Some of you just need to come and kneel down here and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Praise him. Dead to self. And oh God, fill me with your Spirit. As Jamie sings, we're going to be dismissed and you're going to take off, but John's going to be down here and Brother Eric, myself, and we'll just be here, but we're not going to have let's wait and have a come forward invitation, that kind of thing. We're just going to fellowship. If you need to come down here and talk to somebody, say, me, Pastor, I don't, yeah, that's it. Just come see me. Now tonight, we got to have a brief business session. And we got all that taken care of. It'll be a good time, so I hope you'll join us. Got a guest that's going to be speaking. I'll be here looking forward to what it's going to do. You need to stop out there at the church planning table, VBS table. They're playing golf Friday. You can stop at that table outside. Just a little different kind of invitation today. We normally give a come forward, but we're just going to let you come as you want to come today. All right? And I'll be here, and this will be God's invitation in this moment. You may just feel more comfortable coming in that way. And so I want you to do it. Hey, I love you. Some already coming. So as you rise, fellowship, come unto Christ and unto His church. I'll see you tonight when we gather again.